It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here Sunday morning. 6 minutes after the hour, the 10 o'clock hour, and we're live here. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Memorial Day weekend. Wonderful to be here live. Didn't go out of town, so what else am I going to do on a Sunday morning? I've got my kids in the studio. Might as well be here live with you. I don't know if I've ever been in town and not done radio. Usually if I have to do a recorded show before or a call show, it is if I'm going to actually be out of town. Sometimes I'll just even do these shows from out of town. But anyway, good morning. Welcome to the show. We're here live. We're on Peachtree. It's 66 degrees here on Peachtree after a night of pretty brutal thunder and lightning that woke up everyone in the house. So we had an early morning in the Moss house. But we are here live with you. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. So on this Memorial Day weekend, it seems like there's nobody around. The streets are empty. You can get anywhere you want to get in a couple minutes. I went to Fresh Market. Usually takes me 20 minutes to get there. It took me like 3 minutes yesterday to get to Fresh Market. Just boom, like that. So I know that the roads are empty. You may be headed, even church changes schedules on Memorial Day weekend. So if you're around, if you're listening in the car at home and you have a question, we are going to go to the phones. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We had some technical difficulties before with phones. We're going to give it a shot here in just a second. But I wanted to finish up. We are here on this Memorial Day weekend, and I haven't really talked much about the holiday in the past. And I've been intrigued by, there's a poem that I've read every year, and I never went back and researched the history with the poem, but I did this year, and I want to share this with you since it is Memorial Day weekend, and it means so much to us as Americans. And this is the day when we celebrate and we remember all of those who died in the name of our country and our freedom through all of the wars that we know so much about. We have lost 650,000 soldiers on the battlefield. Another close to 700,000 Americans have died during wartime because of the war through starvation or disease. So that number is over one, it's well over close to 1.5 million Americans have passed away because of the wars that we have been involved with. And this weekend and tomorrow, Memorial Day, Monday, is the day we remember and those who served our country and died for our freedom and died for the unparalleled life that we live here in America. And really unparalleled in not just in the day that we live in, but in the history of our world. We have the most freedom and the highest standard of living and so much to be thankful for. And for years, again, I've read this poem called In Flanders Fields. It's a poem written by a Canadian soldier named John McCrae. He was a physician. So as a physician, McCrae, he was part of the Canadian Expeditionary Force. He was a gunner and a medical officer during World War I. And he fought in a battle that was in the Flanders region of Belgium against the Germans. And from what we know about how brutal World War I was, I mean, it's effectively in these tunnels of dirt and mud and barbed wire and chemicals and artillery where they would go days and weeks without even the smallest break of fighting and battle. And in this world of just mud and death and devastation, he, like so many soldiers, saw his compatriots and his friends and his brothers die right next to him. And after the burial of a friend, he noticed something that in this just devastation of mud and dirt and this brown world that they lived in for months and weeks and upon over end, he noticed something that did grow and that did spring back to life after the devastation of war. And that, those are the red flowers of the poppy. These were poppies that would grow, flowers that ended up growing among the graves of all of his fallen brothers. And then this happened quickly. And the poem was written in 1915, right after one of these terribly devastating battles. And over time, this poem has been has become synonymous with the remembrance of fallen soldiers over the course of history around the world. So it's not just here in the United States, but this is a kind of a universal remembrance of all of those who have fallen. And it's called In Flanders Fields. And I'll read this and then we'll get back to the normally scheduled Money Matters. So in Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky, the lark still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. And this poem is from the standpoint of those who have fallen. So we are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe to you. From falling hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high if ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's Memorial Day weekend where we remember so many of us that have fought and died for our freedom here in the United States. Good morning. Welcome to WSB Radio, by the way. Thank you for tuning in. And we're going to go. This is Money Matters. And we're here every Sunday morning on this special weekend. We're here live and we're happy to be with you. So thank you for joining us. The number 404 in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, Ryan, we are going to... All right, we're going to go to Sean here, who joins us from Jonesboro. Sean, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters.
My name's Sean. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm 52 years old. I'm working right now. I should be retiring in about 9 months. I do have money in a 457B and just want to know what I need to do with it once I leave. I am going to go to another job, so hopefully plan to work another 10 to 12 years.
Well, here's my thought on this, Sean. The something that's really unique about, and I know that you had spoken to Ryan earlier, and you're in your early 50s. And this is what's really unique about the 457. So we've got, again, most of us, you listen, you think to yourself, well, I've got one of those. Do I have one of those? What's a 457? A 457 is it's almost the operative word here, the same thing as your 401k plan or your 403b plan. Where at work you contribute 5 or 10 or 15, 20%, whatever you can afford of your income on a pre-tax basis. It goes in, it grows tax deferred, and then you're using it and accruing it for retirement. But because you're in your early 50s, I would tell you, and I think what's the most important about this, the difference in a 457, is that you can withdraw money after you leave the job, penalty free at any age. And that's what's so different about this. If you've got a regular 401k and you roll it into an IRA at your age in your early 50s, or even if you leave because you're under the age of 55, then you can't get to that money without a 10% penalty until you're 59 and a half, almost 60. So the nuance here, and there's a nuance with a regular 401k plan, if you leave employment at the age of 55 or older and keep the 401k at the 401k, then you can tap it before 59 and a half. Most folks will do a rollover into a regular IRA. Then you can't touch that money without penalty until you're 59 and a half. The 457 throws all that out the window. The 457... for reasons unknown by me, I don't know why they did this with 457. I have an idea. You can get to the money at any time. So even though you're 52, if you were to roll this over into regular IRA, now you can't touch it until you're 59 and a half without a 10% penalty plus taxes. But if you leave it there, which I would encourage you to do, I'd leave it in the 457 plan, because if you ever need to get to it, if you're 53 or 4 or 55, doesn't matter, you can go ahead and do that. But you can only do this in a 457 plan. That's the nuance here and what's so unique and special about this. So I would very often, I encourage folks to, particularly if you're in a bloated fee for a retirement plan at work, which still is the norm, you want to get out of that retirement plan, roll the money into a regular IRA so that you can then control the cost of those investments. You control the allocation even better, and you have more flexibility in a regular IRA. And that's typically where you want to head post leaving work. But in your case, because you have this special rule, only for those who have 457 plans, again, relatively unique, and this is usually through those who work in, whether it's a state or municipal type job is where you're going to find these 457 plans, then you've got this special opportunity to be able to tap the money without a penalty long before you're 59 and a half. So what I would say here, Sean, is that because you're probably going to go back to work, you're only 52, you're going to keep working, and you're going to be able to now access that money whenever you see fit, which is a huge advantage. So unless it's you have terrible fund options that are super expensive, which I doubt that you do, it's probably a relatively low-cost plan, then the operative word here is leave it and use it when you want to use it. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's Sunday morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss. It's Memorial Day weekend. Of course, tomorrow, Monday, we celebrate Memorial Day. Thanks for tuning in. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. The phone line's open here on this Memorial Day weekend. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750. Straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
As we touched on earlier, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters Memorial Day weekend. A year of this, so much uncertainty, particularly with politics, of course. You know, we've talked about there are odds of impeachment for Trump that are around 25%. This is the betting websites. The odds of him not finishing his first term, his first full 4 years, at 60%. And just tremendous uncertainty that we're facing. I think that this just dramatically overstates that these outcomes will happen. I think a lot of that has to do with the emotions that ride so high when it comes to politics, and people are, those that are betting on this are probably also rooting for that. And when you're rooting for something and you're making an emotional bet, like it's a sports team or a stock that you're in love with, those are typically very clouded bets. So I don't buy how high these percentages are. I don't buy their efficacy. But as we talked about before, we know that politics, it does impact the market. It does impact it more, I would say, on a short-term basis, meaning that in a given day or week or month, you can see impact from politics. We saw a giant Trump rally right after the election. Then we saw a 400-point drop in the market a couple Wednesdays ago due to his impeachment odds skyrocketing. So we have these shorter-term impacts, but over time, the real tide of markets comes down to, as we know, the economy and what companies are really earning, and earn they have in 2017. Earnings season, it's complete for the most part. And the scorecard is very clear. The full 75% of companies have beat expectations for earnings. More importantly, we've seen a full 15% growth in earnings over the last year. And that's a massive number. What I like to see is that, and I think more importantly, 63% of those companies have exceeded expectations on revenue. So with all the talk of the retail apocalypse and spending by people, companies, spending by companies and people, is very much alive and well. And then you go back to what the economy looks like. And Queen Goldilocks is intact. We're probably going to see consumer spending tick back up this quarter, even though it was a very lackluster first quarter. because we've seen a significant increase in wage growth. Housing continues to have a tremendous buoyancy due to low inventories in housing. Inflation and interest rates are still in what I would say giving the economy a tailwind. Manufacturing is still in expansion mode. And employment at under 4.5% is close to full employment. Over 200,000 new jobs in April. It's a cycle that will continue to give buoyancy to wages. And then you cycle that back to more consumer spending. So Queen Goldilocks, the Goldilocks economy, not too hot, not too cold, fully intact. You're tuned into Money Matters. Your calls and questions right here on WSB straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning, 35 minutes past the hour, 68 degrees on Peachtree. And we are back live here on the weekend. And yes, it is live because we didn't go out of town this week as a family. So I've got the kids in the studio, Ryan Ely here taking your calls and questions. And there's a lot to talk about here. I want to get to in this segment, there's a lot to be learned. These commencement speeches, I don't know why. I guess every time, every May, you hear of commencement speeches, you've got famous people and actors and moguls that'll give speeches at their alma maters. And it happens every May. For some reason, it seemed to be more attention on it this year. Maybe it was because we get speeches from Mark Zuckerberg and Will Ferrell, opposite ends of the spectrum, but both with really interesting messages. And I want to talk about that because it reminds me their message for graduates. It really could be a message and should be a message to those of you that are thinking about retiring in just a little bit, because you're moving on to the next phase of your life, and the message and what they talk about really has a lot of value for anyone in transition, not just kids becoming adults or college going to the workforce, but you at 50, 55, 60 thinking, okay, this is it. I'm going to phase out work and I'm going to go into the next phase of life. Really, a lot of the same lessons apply, and it's a giant part of retirement contentment and happiness, which I write a lot about over the years. And you can retire sooner than you think. Really, the theme of my research and book over the years has been what happy retirees do relative to those who are not that happy. In the book, I call the Matrobs and U-Robs, happy retirees on the block, unhappiest retirees on the block, really just the habits of happy retirees relative or versus the habits of unhappy retirees. Some of it has to do with the money side of the equation. Some of it has to do with these benchmarks we try to get to in America, or we want to get to in order to have a comfortable retirement. There's five of them in the book. One of them has to do with your nest egg. The other has to do with your mortgage. But one of the important ones has to do with what I call core pursuits, or your hobbies on steroids. It really goes back to why we have saved the money that we save. So what's the money for? What the heck have we done all this for? Why have we been disciplined and saved for all these years? Well, it comes back to that next phase of life. And I think these graduation speeches really tell us a lot about the next phase of our lives, whether we're college kids or we're 55 or 65 headed into retirement. I want to talk about that in just a moment here on Money Matters. Before we do that, let's go to the phones. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Paul joins us on the line. Paul, how can I help? What's going on?
I wanted to, if you could explain the difference between the MLP and a REIT. And I know there's risk-reward, but regarding taxes, I know the implication on the MLP on taxes, but what is it regarding a REIT? And are REITs, with all of the brick-and-mortar stores being subject to closing due to online, are REITs riskier or less riskier than an MLP?
Wow. Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lot to that, Paul. So I appreciate the question. There. One of your questions here, and let me frame this for those of you who are just tuning in and wondering what the heck the acronyms that he was throwing around. First of all, a REIT, again, we talked about this earlier in the show, real estate investment trust. think of public storage companies or public storage as an actual company. These are giant publicly traded companies that are in the real estate business, the commercial real estate business. Apartment complexes, hotels, big hospital companies. The one that's in our backyard in Atlanta, Simon Property, they own Lenox Mall. So they're the company that owns the space, the park, the buildings, and they lease that space to tenants that are the, all the different stores or restaurants that, that we all know so well if we walk through Lenox Mall. Now that I think about it, I don't think I've even been to Lenox Mall for 5 years. I cannot remember the last time I was in the mall, which relates back to the next question Paul had, which was, hey, do you see these mall companies or REITs, publicly traded real estate companies, are they in a death spiral because of the retail apocalypse? Nobody goes to the mall anymore. I'm going to answer that question in just a second. The other one, the other thought here, though, has to do with taxes. How do you get taxed from the distribution or the income you receive from a REIT versus the other acronym that Paul threw around, MLP, Master Limited Partnership? That's typically synonymous with pipeline companies. So these are typically, they don't have to be. There are actually cemetery companies that are MLPs. This is just a structure, but typically the most common structure for an MLP has to do with the energy infrastructure business, i.e. pipelines. Energy transportation companies that own pipeline that go the pipelines that you hear about through executive order, the Keystone XL pipeline, the Dakota Access pipeline, the Atlantic Sunrise pipeline, the network of the thousands and thousands of miles of physical pipeline that transport oil, crude oil from North Dakota, South Dakota, all the way down to Oklahoma, or all the way down to the refineries in Louisiana. These are companies that are effectively the toll roads of our energy infrastructure in America. They own the roadway and they charge these big exploration and production companies to move the oil. It's a relatively straightforward business. They also charge for energy storage. They charge for a variety of areas, but the traditional MLP and what Paul's asking about, hey, how are they taxed? And they're pretty different between REITs or public traded real estate versus these pipeline companies. Remember, an MLP, well, let's start with a simple one. REITs are fairly straightforward. If you're looking at a publicly traded REIT or corporation, and this is for the most part, and of course, there's always exceptions here, but for the most part, you're going to get, they're going to pay you out income. You're going to see it reported on your 1099, on your Schwab statement, Fidelity statement, wherever it might be. And it's going to typically be taxed at ordinary income rates from a REIT. And there's not a whole lot that goes into figuring out depreciation because the REIT itself is operating the business. They're taking care of all that. Then they distribute that income out to you, and you effectively pay ordinary income on it. There are some cases that you can see a qualified dividend. That is a different tax treatment, like a qualified dividend for most big blue chip publicly traded stocks that you get. You're going to be taxed at a different rate than ordinary income. It's a lower rate typically. But in the case of REITs, it's going to come out for the most part ordinary income. MLPs, though, on the other hand, you're technically a limited partner. If you own some of the MLP, you actually own a unit, by the way. It's different than a share. It's actually a unit because you have a unit of this limited partnership. If you own a company directly. So let's say you own Energy Transfer Partners. You're going to
PC Shaw, 750 WSB.
Okay. And now, now we've got... I don't know if you guys hear that, but we had another voice come in, kind of like Wes is a ventriloquist in here on Money Matters. You know what it is? It's the lightning. So we had this ridiculous storm last night. It woke up all the kids, and the lightning fried everything. And that's why we've got these funny technical glitches throughout the day. And it's fine. And let's continue to go here with this. Let me finish answering this question. You get a K-1, which is a separate tax form for each one of these separate MLPs you own. And it could get pretty complicated because you could get there's state implications where that MLP is potentially doing business. But what happens here, and this is where it gets really different, you end up paying ordinary income on MLP distributions. And by the way, they are called distributions, they're not dividends. But you also get to take your share of depreciation and depletion from what the company is able to take because you actually own a unit of the company. So in a lot of cases, MLPs are highly, highly tax efficient. You get a distribution, but a big chunk of that might not be taxable in that given year. Now, it does change technically your basis and it gets pretty complicated and your CPA has to track this. But MLPs, one of the advantages, now you don't want to own this in an IRA because it gets real complicated inside an IRA, but an MLP really can also provide not only high levels of cash flow in the form of a distribution, but also can be tax efficient because you get to share in the depreciation. Okay, now let's go back to, do we go to Ben quickly here? Ryan says yes. We're going to go. Ben, welcome to the show. How can we help? Just what a day. Ben, welcome to the show. Sorry. Here we go.
Thank you. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, good. What's up?
I wanted to ask, I'm almost 35 years old, and for a while everyone was talking about, you know, Social Security not being around when people my age retired. And I feel like people are not really saying much about that anymore. And I just want to know if things have changed or there's that's still leaning in that direction.
What a good question. I'm glad you brought that back up. It's funny if you talk to. Oh wait a minute, phones. Wait, can you actually hear me? Ben, you can actually hear me.
Yes, sir.
Oh wow, we're like normal phones. We fixed everything. Yay! All right, so you're right, Ben. See, if you noticed before, the callers couldn't hear me, Ben. Now you and I actually are having a conversation. again, during the election, part of you hear about, well, are we going to ever change Social Security? What are we going to do to Medicare? These are things that are been promised to us. It's the ultimate political football, right? And nothing good has happened to Social Security. Just so you know, there's nothing. The problem hasn't been fixed. There's been no magic there. It's not as though we've increased the amount of money going into the coffers. So just because it hasn't been on the political dinner table today doesn't mean it's off the table. It is very much a problem that is still festering. It's just that there's been so many other issues politically. We're talking healthcare, we're talking taxes, we're talking infrastructure. Trump's getting probed every which way because of Russia. So what has happened is that this issue, which it's still a very real issue, Ben, is just on the back burner. It'll come back onto a front burner at some point. But no, there's been no magic at all happening with Social Security. The Social Security Trust Fund isn't any better off than it was a year or two ago. We still face the issue, Ben. And if you're how old again?
I'll be 35 shortly.
So when you're 35, you've got really 30 years before you're really thinking about taking Social Security. It will be there because it's technically a transfer system where, let's say, 1 million people are working and 1.5 million people are collecting. So even if the trust fund cushion goes to zero, which it's projected to go to sometime in the 2035, 2040, we don't know exactly when, but even if it goes down to zero, there'll be millions of people paying into Social Security in any given week. And that same money that goes into the system will come right back out in the form of a monthly check. Now, it might be less than what we're promised today. It might be 10, 20, 30% lower than what is on our Social Security statement and what it projects today. But it will be there for you, Ben. It might just be 20 to 30% less than his promise. All right. I love it. We have actual phones. I want to talk quickly about graduation speeches, what it means for happy retirees. Straight ahead, you're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
At AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Ryan Ely, time for a weekend prize pack.
The WSB weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Paul Simon on June 2nd at Chastain Park Amphitheater and a pair of Saturday tasting tent tickets to the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival June 1st through the 4th at Piedmont Park's Promenade. Caller number 3. It's your prize pack.
404-741-0750. So we've got these commencement speeches. Will Ferrell, Mark Zuckerberg. They're opposite guys, first of all. Zuck, not overly likable. Hard not to like the guy's message from this past week. Create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose. Who's going to argue with that? He got an honorary doctorate, by the way. Dropped out of Harvard, as you all know. So did Will Ferrell, another honorary doctorate. His message a little different than Zuck. One of kind of follow your passion. Will Ferrell was terrified about not being funny, which is pretty phenomenal. But he was more terrified by not trying to entertain and make people laugh. So one about following purpose and passion, another message urging us to create a world where everybody has a sense of purpose and passion. And my ear kind of picked up on these because it's the exact same thing for all of you graduating from the workforce. You're graduating in a sense as well. You found your work passion, or at least maybe your work purpose, and now it's coming to an end as if you're thinking about retirement. Some of you have been working part-time. Some of you have been working part-time to cultivate your core pursuits, hobbies on steroids. We call them here on Money Matters. Essentially, your non-work-related passions, because work is going to end. Your core pursuits are not going to end. So get working on them long before you graduate from work, long before. I've seen too many people so focused on work, not focused on you at all. And that's got to get better if you're going to love retirement and have a sense of purpose. Remember, it doesn't matter what those core pursuits are. All that matters is that you have a bunch of them. Happy retirees have 3.6. Unhappy retirees have slightly less than 2. Get moving. I don't care what it is. Good morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy with your family. Stay tuned to WSB Radio, best programming on the planet all day long. Right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.